6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages, he proclaimed. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as keeper of the money bag, he used it to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Let us pray. Almighty God, still the busyness of our minds and open our hearts to you that we may hear your word for us this day. Amen. Well, New York City newspaper reporter Calvin Trillin some years ago told a story about a man who had gotten kidnapped, and the kidnappers called his wife and demanded a ransom of $100,000. Well, what made this story so unusual was that the wife talked the kidnappers down to $30,000. True story. The ransom was paid, and the good news was the husband was returned, and the money actually was recovered, and the kidnappers were arrested. But I got to thinking about this conversation that the wife must have had as she negotiates with these kidnappers for the return of her husband. I mean, they say, ma'am, we want $100,000, unmarked bills, small ones in a bag, leave it in by the trash can. And she goes, what? $100,000? Have you seen him? You know, he's not worth that much. And, you know, begins to negotiate a price far more suitable for her husband. I got to thinking what Rusty might do in a similar situation. Would he go immediately and, no questions asked, pay $100,000 for my return? Would he talk down the price because it's just a waste of money to spend that? Or he might have even said, just keep her. I don't know. But you think about it. What's the price that you would pay? What is the price that you would pay? And that's the struggle that's going on in today's scripture. It's that struggle between Mary and Judas of what's appropriate, what's too extravagant, or what's just right. Let's take a look. The story takes place about 6 days before the Passover, his last Passover, just the week before the crucifixion. And so Jesus is traveling to Jerusalem for that Passover, and probably the chief priests and the scribes were already plotting against him. Maybe Judas had even cut a deal by this point. And on his way to Jerusalem to celebrate this final Passover with his disciples, Jesus stops off in Bethany, to the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Bethany is, and this family was a close family to Jesus. It was his home away from home. It was where he could be himself. Ever had one of those places? That place where you can just put your feet up and let your hair down and the cares and the concerns of the world just kind of go by the wayside for just a moment. Well, that was this Bethany family to Jesus. That was this place for Jesus where he just had a moment where he could just be Jesus, not Messiah or Son of God. And so there's this dinner that's been thrown in his honor. Maybe it's because he had raised Lazarus from the dead. Maybe it was a dinner of gratitude. Maybe it was just because they loved Jesus so much, thought of him as one of their own, a part of their family. We don't know, but that's what's happening here, a dinner party. Martha, of course, is in the kitchen doing what Martha always does. Lazarus is there at the table, and there's Mary. You know, she was accused earlier about being a slacker because she's not in the kitchen helping her sister. Well, she's not in the kitchen this time either. She's probably out. You hear her rumbling around in her room. She's rummaging for something. She's looking for something, moving things out of the way. You can hear it, and finally, aha, there it is. She finds it. She makes her way back into the dining room where everyone is eating. She weaves her way over to where Jesus is sitting, and she places herself at the feet of Jesus. And she breaks open her alabaster jar. They're going to throw a picture up of it so you can see what I'm talking about. A jar filled with nard and an oily perfume. And it was probably sealed at the top, maybe even a gift at the day of her birth. This perfume was used. You know, they didn't bathe regularly. It was used to mask the odor. It was used for embalming purposes. When someone died, it was used as a part of a woman's dowry. It was very expensive. And so she breaks open her jar of perfume and she pours it on the feet of Jesus. And its fragrance just fogs the room. It fills the room and it draws the attention of the other disciples to what she is doing. And the one who protests is Judas. He thinks that it's too extravagant of a gift. He couldn't believe that she had done such a thing. That, you know, why were you holding this back on us? Kind of an accusation was going on. We could have sold this. We could have used this money to help the poor. Or better yet, we could have saved it. And so then the age-old dilemma begins. Something we've been struggling with all of our earthly lives. How much is too much? What's too extravagant when it comes to giving to our God? If you lean in on the side of waste, well, you're not alone. Judas and probably even some of the other disciples were kind of nodding his head when Judas lit into her for this extravagant gift. I mean, they really could have sold it. Palestine was a very poor country. There was high unemployment. The housing situation was horrible. People were living on top of each other. They were looking, they had very limited resources and food. And so, yes, this could have been sold. Many could have helped. It was a year's worth of wages, they figured, that she was wasting on the feet of Jesus. They could have done a lot with it. Or better yet, you can just see as they talk about Judas's character, they could have saved it. Judas could have stuck it in his little money bag because he kind of used that for his own purposes as well. But this story is not about Judas's need to save. It was about Mary's need to give. There's a story about Alexander the Great. He's traveling along the road and he sees this beggar on the side of the road in great need. And the Alexander takes pity on him and he tosses him a couple of gold coins. His companion questions his generosity and he says, you know, that beggar, you could have just given him a couple of copper coins and that would have certainly met his need for this day. And Alexander the Great said, yes, you were right. Copper coins would have met the beggar's need, but gold coins meet my need to give. John Wesley had the same philosophy. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, lived on 28 pounds. That was the English measure of money. a year. That's all he needed. He figured out that's what he needed to live adequately, to live comfortably. And even as he got pay increases or honorariums or whatever it is, as he made more money every year, he still lived on that same amount of money and gave the rest away. John Wesley believed that giving should stretch him. Giving should stretch me. Generous living and faithful giving should stretch all of us. It should cause me to rethink my priorities. It should cause me to rethink how I use my time and talent. It should affect my priorities in life. It should not only reflect who I am, but who I am called to be as a child of God. Mary knew that. That's why she did what she did. Mary was not content with just the minimal requirement or half-hearted gesture. Mary was all in, and she was showing that with her gift. There's a story of a little boy, just a kid, just kind of running loose in the neighborhood, not a lot of parental guidance left to make choices, good or bad, because didn't seem to have an adult in his life who cared. And he made friends with the little neighbor lady, and one day she invited him to go to church with her. He had never been to church before, so it was all new, and they stood up to sing a song. He was, you know, wide-eyed and kind of a half a beat behind them all. He didn't know when to stand or when to sit down, and everything was new. And when the offering plates were passed around, he was just really looking at all that, and he could see that they were putting something in, and he just wasn't sure. And finally, as you know, the plate's getting closer and closer, and he sees the neighbor lady who had invited him to church. She had pulled out some money, and so he realizes that, oh, in this plate, we're gonna put some money in here. And he begins to search his pockets, and he realizes he has nothing. He has absolutely nothing to give to Jesus, and he's all upset, and tears are beginning to well in his eyes, and the plate comes and it's passed, and he puts both hands on it, and he doesn't know what to do. And he sets it on the floor. And he's a tiny little boy, and he steps into it. And he says, Jesus, I don't have anything to give you today but me. That boy knew what Mary knew, that sometimes the best thing we have to give is ourselves. God-honoring giving flows out of a heart of gratitude. I didn't really realize that until, I guess, this week when I was preparing for this sermon, I got down on the floor and imagined how Mary must have been as she came before Jesus. For you know, when you bend down like that, that was the posture of a servant. And if you think about it, when Mary broke open that alabaster jar, and then we hear that she wiped it with her hair, do you realize, I mean, I know I have short hair, but do you realize how close to the floor Mary was going to have to get? I mean, when Mary poured that perfume, she was pouring herself out. She was pouring herself out of a heart of gratitude. Mary was all in. Mary was just giving of herself completely over to Jesus in that moment. She wasn't embarrassed. She wasn't going to worry about what the other disciples were thinking, because she was committed. She was saying, Jesus, here I am. I pour myself out to you. I give you myself in this moment. There was this heart of gratitude. Maybe it was because he had raised her brother. Maybe it was because he had lifted her up, that he saw Mary as a person of value and worth. When you look at the other Gospels, there's a similar story, and one of them refers to this Mary as a former prostitute. And maybe she was lifted up from the depths of her darkness or sin or her former life. And in this moment, a heart of gratitude just flowed out from the bottle of perfume from her life. For you see, the Lord didn't judge her. He didn't judge her past. He didn't see her as her former self, but he saw her as a person of great worth, as a child of God, as a precious jewel. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Can you do it? Let us pray. Almighty God, we give ourselves over to you this day, 100%. Take us as a child of God. Use us as a servant in your world. Help us to prioritize our daily life in such a way that it reflects our gratitude, our gratefulness for the life that you give us. This we pray in your name. Amen. I issue an invitation to anyone wishing to pour themselves out in a way this day, perhaps to give testimony for what God is doing in your life. Maybe you have a need of prayer that one of your pastors will pray with you, or maybe this day you have chosen to officially unite with this church to be a part of its mission and ministry. If so, I invite you to come forward as we stand to sing our closing song. It is hymn number 172, My Jesus, I Love Thee. Let's stand and sing together. God be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.